get out of the kitchen. Just get out of the kitchen. Now, this was something that was spoken to me about 3 weeks ago, not by the Lord, but inadvertently from the Lord, by a lady who came and joined us on our Wednesday night services, a very precious lady. And she said, "You know, I saw you said you have the living room services on Wednesday night." And she said, "My devotional that I was reading this morning was talking about getting out of the kitchen and getting into the living room." I was like, wow. And that began to just kind of stir in me. So this morning, we're going to talk about getting out of the kitchen. Now, I do believe that the Lord spoke this word because he saw I was getting too consumed with all the stuff happening. And he spoke it to me very strongly and reminded me that many, many years ago, and Judy, I don't know if you'll remember this or not, but there was a prophet of God here, and he called me and Miss Judy up to pray for us and to speak a word to us. And I was so excited, and I know Judy was excited, and we're both up here waiting to get these really wonderful words. Well, he gave her a wonderful word, but the word he gave me, I was like, "Are you serious?" Yeah, he was. And it was true. He said that Judy and I were like Martha and Mary. And I'm Martha, because I'm always running around doing everything. And Mary, which is Miss Judy's character, it really is always at the feet of Jesus. And you know, and that stuck with me. I didn't like it, but it stuck with me. I'm like, no, you're supposed to give me this great word about all this wonderful stuff that's going to happen. And he didn't. He said, "You are a Martha." And this is a man who'd known me for many years and had the liberty to speak into my life like that. And I was devastated at first. And I thought, gee, thanks. You know, how does that make me look? Well, it makes me look just like I am, because it was the truth. I do tend to go in that direction. I'm a doer. I want to do all the time do. And sometimes I do forget to get out of the kitchen and go to the living room where there is the presence of the Lord. And, you know, I like the word the living room. I've really gotten attached to that word, not just because we created living room services on Wednesday night, but because in the living room, there's life. So where the presence of the Lord is, there is living room. You can go in there and we can have life. We have room to have life and grow. So we're going to look at Mary and Martha for just a minute. Luke 10, verse 38. And do we have? Yes. Oh gosh, that does look like my kitchen. That's not a good sign. No, I'm kidding. I did clean it up last night. Luke 10, 38. Now it came to pass as they went, and we're talking about Jesus and his disciples, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now Martha was always the hostess to Jesus when he was traveling to and from Jerusalem. She always had him over. She was the oldest of her siblings, which was Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And we all know what happened to Lazarus. She was practical, down to earth, always the practical one. In fact, she's so practical that in John 11, when Jesus was going to see Lazarus, who had passed away and was already in the grave, in the tomb, she was the one who went up and said, "Master, really? He's already been dead 4 days. Do you know how bad he smells? He stinks." She was the practical one, even though she knew she was talking to the very person who had the resurrection power and life that could bring him back. But she was the practical one. And in John chapter 12, Martha also, it says, was serving while Mary was anointing Jesus' feet. So she was always serving, always doing, always this, that. What can I do here? What can I do there? And you know, there's nothing wrong with that until it keeps you out of the living room. So, verse 39, Martha had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, it's one thing to sit at Jesus' feet, but it's another thing to hear his word. You know, we can have altar experiences where we go and we are laying ourselves down at the feet of Jesus, excuse me, and just pouring ourselves out to him. But if we're not hearing what he has to say to us, then we've just had a nice encounter. But if we hear the word, we come away with life. So Mary was there. And she heard his word. Now, Mary was the middle child. She was more contemplative, meditative. She was the deep thinker. So as she would hear his word, she would meditate on it. And she would trust in it. And she would believe in it. Well, Martha was hearing the word too, but it was from the kitchen. So how many distractions are between the living room and the kitchen? For those of you ladies who understand that. And those gentlemen who cook for us. Verse 40, but Martha was cumbered. She was distracted about much serving. And she came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. You know, really, Jesus, do you not care? I'm in there slaving away. I'm working, I'm doing all of this stuff for you, and she won't even come help me? I'm left alone here to do all of this? Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, and some of the other translations I really like, it says, and Jesus gently answered. You want to be gently with a woman who's been over a hot stove all day. You don't want to walk in there preaching, you should have done that, you know. Gently, men, take note. Gently is the way you want to approach a woman who's been working all day. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, 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 no, sorry. Thou art careful, anxious, and troubled, disturbed about many things. Now see, she asked for help in the kitchen, and he starts reading her mail and telling her, hey, Martha, chill. You are so anxious. You've got all this anxiety going on. And you're so disturbed about so many things that are really not that important. I mean, you know, the dishes will be there when we get done. That's a hard one for me to learn, but I'm learning it. Verse 42, Jesus told her, but one thing is needful or necessary, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. That is a promise of God right there. When we go to the feet of Jesus, we hear his word, we receive, we've chosen the good part that will not be taken away from us. God's promise, God's promise. Now, there are two situations going on here. One, Martha's in the kitchen serving. Preparing food, doing dishes, trying to find the fine china. Jesus is in the house. How are we going to do this? All I got is paper plates. The other situation, Mary was in the living room at the feet of Jesus hearing his word. Now, most homes, most traditional homes, okay, let me go with traditional because I know the trend now is to have all these big open rooms in homes, and I love it. I think it is so awesome, you know, when you can walk in and you see the living room, the dining, and the kitchen is around. They're gorgeous. I like them so much. My little traditional home, we have rooms. And here's the living room. Next room is the kitchen, dining area, you know, all of this. So most traditional homes have a kitchen that is separate from the living room. Now, they are separated by one thing, a wall. They're separated by a wall. What wall was keeping Martha from getting out of the kitchen and into the living room, into life. Well, stuff was a wall to her. Things that needed to be done was a wall to her. And what is so ironic, and I love the way the Lord pointed this out to me, she didn't even have to go through the wall. There was a door. She could have walked right through the door and gone in there and joined them. But she couldn't see the door for seeing the wall that was all of this stuff behind. She couldn't get there from here. So what wall is keeping us from getting out of the kitchen and into the living room to hear the word of God? Well, there are positive and negative walls. There really are. And I went to my professional asking about walls. Learned a lot. But positive walls are walls that, well, let's say if we just had this foundation and we just had the ceiling, that wouldn't work. There have to be positive walls that connect us from our covering to our foundation. So there has to be positive walls within us. Because, you know, there's a big trend, I know lots of women, and you guys are not left out of this, but lots of women say, oh, she really had a wall up today. You hear that a lot in women. Well, it happens in men too. Don't think that you are disqualified from that statement, because all of you have a tendency to run to your man cave inside yourselves, where there are very strong walls, and it's like, don't come in. I need this time now. And women and children know, dad's in the man cave. Back off, back off. Those are walls. Those are walls too. So men, you're not left out of this. We all have walls. But positive walls within us, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Don't you know that you are a temple? I like that. I'm not just a house. I am a temple of God. So that means there are some good walls that are within me. Positive walls we have to have to connect us from our covering to our foundation. Now, there are negative walls also. And in fact, walls can be taken either way, positive or negative. It depends on what we do with them. I don't think that wall liked that one, did it? A wall is a structure that serves to hold back pressure. That's one use of a wall. Like we see retaining walls that are built around gardens. We see, what are those walls called when the floodwaters are coming? They put all those sandbags, and those are to hold back water pressure. A wall can act as a barrier or defense. Ooh, we can put up walls that are barriers. A barrier means don't come through this. Or defense, meaning I'm hiding behind this wall and you can't get to me. So there are good and bad things about walls. Walls are two-sided. Have you ever thought about that? Walls are two-sided. Not only do they keep things out, but they keep things in too. So we have to know, is this a positive or a negative wall in my life? Because I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit, and I don't want any negative walls because I don't want to try keeping him out. I want him to in, and I want what he wants me to do to come out. And if I'm going through temple walls, oh, it's transparent. It's flow in and out. But if I'm going through my walls, then sometimes I hit that wall. And I'm like, I just can't seem to break through this. What is the deal? I can't, Lord, why can I not break through that? That's my wall. That's not a temple wall. Walls in the natural that can become negative walls in us are walls that are built by pressure on us. And, you know, and that happens. Sometimes it's not an intended thing, but we just get under so much pressure that we start building a wall and we just kind of check out. We disassociate from whatever's causing the pressure. Now, part of that is human nature. Part of that is just a defense mechanism of, okay, I got to have some relief here. But when it stays there, when a wall stays and stays and stays, it gets stronger. And it's hard to love someone who's checked out. Do you know, you've seen those people that just, you know, you can tell in their eyes, they're zoned, they're out. It's very difficult to love people like that. Walls can be built as a barrier because of a lack of trust. Your trust may have been destroyed in a relationship or something. So we build up a barrier that says, I'm not going to be hurt again. So my wall is right here and you can't get through to me. I'll be nice and courteous and I'll love you from the distance. I love you in the love of the Lord, but you're not getting in here because I don't trust. That's not a good wall. That's a negative wall. And then walls can be built out of self-defense. When traumatic things happen, we tend to immediately, it's, you know, it's the fight or flight. And the fight sometimes means all we can do is just put a wall up to protect ourselves. Well, that's okay when it's a very traumatic incident or something that was just so devastating. But if that wall stays there, then it becomes stronger and we get to where we are defending ourselves all the time. And we're hiding behind that wall in self-defense when we don't even need to be defending ourselves anymore. There is so much scripture about God being our reward, that's a mouthful, about God being our defense, about God being our shield, our buckler, our high tower. High tower, his walls are way up there. And when we rise to him, then he is the one who can protect us. Walls can also make us feel like we're alone. We're the only one. Why will nobody help me? Why am I always the one that has to do everything? Why? Do you hear there's a lot of I in there? Why do I have to do everything? Why am I always alone? Why am I the last one left and I have to clean up all the mess? Yeah. Walls can make us feel alone. And it's not that we were left alone. It's not that we are actually alone. But if we always have that feeling of, why am I the only one that, you know, I just feel so alone. I cannot do this by myself. I have to have help. Well, if we would pull down our walls, I'm talking to me here, there's always help. First, in the Lord, there's help. And if our walls are down, people can respond to us. If you've ever noticed someone who really is very walled up in their personality and you try to help them or just, hey, let's go have lunch, let's do this, and you get, boom, wall. You eventually get to where, okay, I'm backing off of that one. Not going to be bothering them anymore. Walls are dangerous. The negative walls are dangerous. Walls of our temple are wonderful. Walls can leave us feeling isolated, alone, and like no one cares. Been there, guilty. And the Lord has to work on me. Well, let me give you some word to kind of help fight all of that. Hebrews 13:5. The Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you can't hang on to any other word, hang on to that one. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Matthew 11:29-30. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Carrying walls around is tiring. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but it's tiring. Here's how we get rest, by going to the Lord. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Romans 8:37-39. Nay, in all these things, and I like it because he starts with my nickname, nay. So I always go, yes, sir. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, nor any wall shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. There are no walls that can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. The love that he wants so much to use as the tool to get rid of the walls. The only wall that will cause him to back away is if we deny him. And then he still loves us. He still loves us. No wall can separate us from the love of God. Ooh. Now, I've just told them to reference Joshua chapter 6 because we're going to look at how the children of Israel overcame a wall, and you're all very familiar with this story. But, you know, these are walls that have been put up or caused by outside influences that we're talking about at this time. So Joshua and the children of Israel have faced a major wall, and they're trying to gain the wisdom of the Lord. How are we going to get this wall down? Because we know you told us that the city is ours. But, Lord, you do see how high this wall is and how thick it is. And the Lord spoke to Joshua and gave him very, very specific instructions. Very specific instructions. Excuse me. And in, I'm going to read from verse 8. If you have your Bibles, you can follow with me there. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken to the people, he gave them the instructions the Lord had given him, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall you shout. Now, the first thing we need to realize when we're dealing with walls in our lives, get the wisdom of the Lord. Sometimes it can be as simple as going and apologizing to someone to pull down a wall. Or going to someone and asking for forgiveness can pull down a wall. But then sometimes there are those walls that we have hung on to for many years, and it gets difficult to get them down. So we need the wisdom from the Lord. Joshua had his wisdom. I like this. This is, don't make any noise with your voice. Not a word out of your mouth. I think those were written for me. Because sometimes the Lord will say, just be quiet. or go to your library voice. Do not come yelling at me, telling me all the bad stuff. Just be quiet and we will deal with this. So I like that verse. It works because when the Lord tells me to be quiet or go back to my library voice, then I do as much as I can. And he's gracious. But he said, don't make any noise until the day I tell you to. So see, there's a timing for walls coming down. In verse 11, so the ark of the Lord come past the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. Wow. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. Timing of the Lord. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Shout. When the Lord says now, things happen. When the Lord says it's time, it's the season, it is now the day, it's now the hour, shout. And it dropped down to verse 20, so the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now, this is a story that we've told our children many, many times. And, you know, I don't want us to get into such familiarity with it that we look at it as a children's story. There is great wisdom here. If we have a wall that we're dealing with, and I do, I still do, because someone said something to me a couple of days ago, and I heard this comment come out of my mouth. I said, it's just much easier just to withdraw inside myself and just be quiet. It's just easier to do that. Because that used to be my wall of protection. I would just withdraw from everybody and everything. That's not how God wants us to be. God wants us to be with transparent walls that we go in and out according to what the Spirit of God is leading or how he is leading. So the wall fell down flat. Timing of the Lord. Get the wisdom of the Lord. Wait for his timing. And then shout. Hebrews 11:30. By faith, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Hebrews, the New Testament writers, felt this was so important, the story of the walls falling, that they brought it in to show us, give us an example, that it is by faith. Do you know, I've seen people go through, and nothing wrong with this, go through self-help programs, to get counseling and nothing at all wrong with that. If that is where the Lord is leading you, by all means, receive from him through that. But we get caught up in trying to do it on our own. Okay, now they said if I would repeat this 5 times until I get this going and I'm constantly thinking that, then I will overcome this wall. To me, it's the Word of God that we need to be meditating on to help overcome walls. There's so much. And I've been there, you guys. I've been there. So that's why I know what I'm saying here. I have been there when there was no faith in my attempt to pull down walls. But when you get in the Word of God and the faith starts rising up, it's so much easier. It's like you've just hired a whole wrecking crew, because you have all of the host of heaven working with you to help you pull down negative walls. In Psalm 47:1, it says, "Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph." By faith, we can shout down walls. Now, that doesn't mean that's the answer to every wall we have, that we go around shouting all the time, "My walls are coming down! My walls are coming down!" And yes, that's true. It's great to announce that, declare it, so the enemy hears what's going on. But there's more to it. We have to be in the Word to build our faith so that when we do declare that, the walls do come down. Now, what if our walls were built by mistakes we made? Now, that's a different story, because that means that we have a strong bond with that wall, because it has memories. Have you ever heard the saying, "If these walls could talk"? Yes. If these walls could talk, if the carpet were pulled off these walls, do you remember what's there? We covered these walls with scripture. There's scriptures written on all these walls when we were building this building. So if that carpet came off, somebody would have a lot of reading to do, because every week we were, everywhere we could reach, we were writing scriptures on these walls so that this building is covered in the Word of God, and not just literally, but we meant that spiritually also. But what if we build a wall because of a mistake we've made? Again, talking from experience. Well, I'm going to use an illustration of someone in the Word who made some big mistakes. And some walls were built that imprisoned him. And that's what happens with negative walls. The whole plan of the enemy is to imprison us within negative walls so we can't get out to be what God wants us to be. We can't do what God's calling us to do. But I want to talk about Samson for a minute. Samson was separated as a Nazarite at birth. He was set apart. Judges 13:5 tells us, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Do you know that when we were all in our mother's womb, when we were conceived, there was a plan and purpose of God put into action for us so that when we are born, we begin to do the plan and the purpose that he instilled within us from conception. But Samson was separated as a Nazarite. And if you read all through Judges 13, 14, 15, 16, you will hear, even though he was special, he was separated, he kept tampering around with evil associations. It's just like, what? Are you taking for granted the grace of God on your life? That's a really dangerous place. And you just keep fooling around on this side, knowing what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistine. So he was separated, but yet he kept tampering around with evil associations. He was very spiritual at times. Several passages of scripture talk about how spiritual he was and the wisdom of God that came through him. But yet, he had a terrible carnal appetite for women that led him in all manner of directions. I'm like, Samson, really? Are you serious? Sometimes he was very childish in his plans. He would make up these childlike plans of what they were going to do. And I mean, it was just silly. He was childish. But yet at the same time, he was very, very courageous in battle. I mean, when that courage kicked in, he would take out many. He was very mighty in physical strength. We all know Samson had the physical strength. But yet he was very weak in resisting temptations. Samson had some issues going on here, just like a lot of us do. But Samson, although I was reading in my Bible and it said Samson's sad ending to his story, I didn't see it that way. I did not see that. I mean, I was sad that Samson went down with the others, but the way it happened, I thought God did a work in him. He really did a work in him. Well, we know that because of Samson's weakness to resist temptations, he ended up with Delilah. And we know the story there. She tried her best to get him to reveal his secret of his strength. Come on, tell me. Just tell me. You know, it's one of, if you really loved me. No. Young people, if the person you are dating pulls that card on you and says, well, you would do that if you really loved me, if you really cared for me, run. Run. Ladies and gentlemen, run. Get away. Because that is not of God. That is not. That is a trick of the devil that not just young people, adults fall into quite often, and it's very, very destructive. So don't do that. Don't ever use that against anybody. Never, ever. But Delilah was really pressuring Samson. In verse 16 of Judges 16, it said, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. You know, that was just that pressure that kept on and on and on until it vexed him, which means it wore him down. So he told her all his heart and said unto her, there has not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Wow. So Delilah, who'd already been tricked by him a couple of times, she realizes, oh, he's really telling me the truth this time. And so she coaxes him to sleep, and then she calls in the guards who come in and they shave off his hair. In verse 19, it says, she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Then she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, oh, I'll go out as other times before and shake myself, you know, just like he had done every time. Because he didn't even realize that the Lord was departed from him because his hair had been shaven. And then verse 21, the Philistines took him. They put out his eyes. He lost his vision. When walls are being put up, vision is one of the first things to go. We lose our vision. And you know, the word tells us, without a vision, people perish. And they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. He was imprisoned with walls all around. He had lost his vision because he compromised the promise of God in his life. I like verse 22. It says, howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. So if we've made major mistakes in our lives, and those have caused imprisoning walls to be built up within us, how do we get out? Just like Samson, his hair began to grow again. The promise of God became alive again. If we are looking to the Lord, even in our mistakes that have maybe imprisoned us, his promise will come alive again. Our spirits will start connecting with him again, and we will see life coming up within the prison walls. In Proverbs 24:16, a righteous man may fall seven times, but he will rise again. So even though we've made mistakes, well, let's repent. That's the first step. Let's repent. Because the word tells us he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. That means there's enough of his righteousness to cleanse these walls out of my life. So I repent, Lord. I am so sorry for those mistakes. Let your promise come alive in me again, and let me rise in what you've called me to do. In verse 28, we know that up until that verse, the guards, the Philistines, they would bring Samson out and use him for sport. You know, they'd have all these games and things and bring him out. And then this one day, because they didn't realize his hair was getting longer, the promise of God was coming alive in him again. And so they call him to be brought out. And the lad who brings Samson out into the arena is walking out with him, and Samson says unto him, or Samson, let me read verse 28. Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. Strengthen me, I pray thee. Only this once, just one more time, God. One more time. I know I blew it. I know I did not do what you called me to do. I did not fulfill my purpose. But just one more time, God, would you give me the strength to take down walls? Verse 29, Samson took hold of the two middle pillars, because he'd had the lad to prop him up between the pillars, upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up. They were holding up the building, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Because Samson had such imprisoned walls that he felt no worth anymore. And he was just like, God, I'm worthless. Just let me go with them. And in this, I will have fulfilled what you called me to do. And that was to lead the children of Israel out of the Philistines. And it says, he bowed himself with all his might, and he pushed on those pillars. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. Now, that sounds like, Renee, what are you? Are we all going to die trying to get these walls out? You ever heard of crucifying the flesh? Oh, my goodness. There are so many times that I get so frustrated because my wall will come up when someone has just pushed the wrong button. My wall will come up, and I'll say something, and then I'm like, oh. So I have asked the Lord many times, Lord, please put a guard about my mouth. Let me think, and let me hear before my mouth starts working. And he is so gracious in that he does help me as much as he can. And that's not his fault. That's my fault. Because sometimes I just, and it's out there before I have time to let my spirit hear from him. But we are to crucify the flesh. And sometimes that means Don't let that wall cause you to do what you don't need to do. Don't let it cause you to say what you don't need to say. Because walls are bondage. They keep us bound up. Like Martha, what walls are keeping us from going from the kitchen to the living room where there's life? What walls? And if there is a wall and we need help getting it down, I would almost guarantee if we look just a little ways down the wall, there's a door. And we can go through that door and get all the help we need. But we can't live in walled temples that are negative. It's time to get out of the kitchen and into life. Amen and amen. Father, in Jesus' name, oh, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you that you make it simple and plain so that I can understand it, Lord. God, I ask now that as we just consider these temples that we are, that, Lord, you expose to us walls that are negative, walls that are destructive. And Father, I ask that you give us the wisdom, the courage to do what we need to do, to take those walls down. Lord, I ask that you forgive me for having walls of unforgiveness toward others. I don't want that wall up, Lord. I want transparency between me and you. Lord, forgive me for having walls of judgmentalism and being critical, criticizing. Lord, I ask that you help me take those walls down. Lord, I ask that your word become more real to all of us, that we have the wisdom we need to destroy negative walls within us. And Father, most of all, I thank you that you have made a way for us to get from the kitchen to the living room. Father, I thank you that you've made a way for us to get out of all the stuff and to get at the feet of Jesus, to hear his word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I just bless your name, Lord. I bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, you're so gracious and kind to us. Let our temples be cleansed. Let our walls be transparent with you, that we are the walking temples of the Holy Spirit. Amen.